to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 99 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. On this week's show, we're getting ready for our big trip down to Walt Disney World. As you know, at the end of September, early October, we're all going to be down in Walt Disney World, hoping to meet you guys. We're going to talk a little bit about our meets at the end of the show, but definitely stick around for that. Now, what we're going to do today is talk a little bit about food and wine, one of our favorite topics, food and booze. So before we start, let's introduce who we have here today. First off, we have Sam from Sam's Disney Diary. How's it going, Sam?
Oh, it is great, Ed. Food and wine, now's the time. Let's go, baby.
Awesome. We also have Jimmy with us. Jimmy, how's it going?
I am fantastic. Excited to talk about this subject.
Awesome. Awesome. We also have Jen with us from The Delightful Life. How's it going, Jen?
Great. I'm excited that we're all here. Plus, maybe a special guest.
It is a rarity to be together. And indeed, we do have a special guest. With us also this week, somebody who's going to be with us for our meets down at the end of the month, is Rod Wheaton from the WDW Mousinger podcast. How's it going, Rod?
Doing great, guys. I am so thrilled not just to be on the show, but also to talk about, I really think the food and wine is the most wonderful time of year and is me and my wife Anita's, my whole family's favorite event held at Walt Disney World every single year.
Oh, no doubt. We can hardly ever wait for it. And we've been lucky the last couple of years to be able to make it down. So totally psyched for this year.
She's great. See, I was going to sing 99 Red Balloons for the 99 show, but now I'm humming Most Wonderful Time of the Year. Which, okay, let's go.
I'm thinking about Christmas, so I'm kind of...
It's the most.
Now, we're only about a month away because I think the food and wine starts September 25th. And there's been a lot of information coming out of Epcot about what's going to be down there. So what we're going to do today is kind of talk about some of the new things first, activity-wise, that they're going to have, and then we're going to move on and start going through country by country. A lot of the things are kind of the same as last year, so we'll kind of skip past those, but there are some really good things we're looking forward to that are new.
Speaking of new, Rod, you were talking before about something that's like got the whole state and the internet abuzz that just was announced like today. Has nothing to do with food and wine, but you know we don't always stay on task.
No, if we stayed on task, that would...
Oh, no, I have an idea what this is about. Definitely. Go ahead. Let's hear it.
Well, I know I was thrilled. And in fact, when I first saw it announced, I actually thought it was yet another Disney rumor that somebody had just floated out on the internet. So I went to the Run Disney site and confirmed it. But now, this coming April, they've got, for the first time here on the East Coast in Walt Disney World, they're going to have a Star Wars half marathon weekend.
Yay!
Oh, very cool.
We might actually get these guys to run, Rod.
You're right. There's a 5K.
I do the Run Disney
race. There's a 5K, a 10K, a dark side challenge. How about that?
So it's an entire running weekend based on Star Wars. This is
it
incredible.
Is a weekend. April 14th.
Can you imagine the
17th.
Costumes that are going to be there?
So does that mean this is going to be all around Hollywood Studios, or is this going to be a Walt Disney World type of event?
It's going to be a marathon around construction walls in Hollywood Studios.
That's right. It is just a half, right? That's the largest race?
Yeah, it's a half, a 10K, a 5K, a kids race, and the Dark Side Challenge,
according to this. Is total speculation. I think it has to go to the studios, and a half would make it probably studios and Epcot.
Start or finish at the Star Tours?
Cool.
No, they can't do it in the park, but you're going to run past it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Either way, sounds like it's going to be a blast.
Very excited.
Well, the half marathon is going to run you around through – you'll get to go through a couple of the parks, which is going to be really, really great. I got to do the wine and dine half marathon the last couple of years. I love running through the parks at night. This looks like it's going to be a daytime race, but still, the cool thing that they're adding with this new challenge where you can run the 10K – On the first day, and then the next day come back and run the half marathon, so you actually get three medals for running two events, I think is going to be really, really popular for the Run Disney community. I know my son Jake and I are planning on signing up for them.
And honestly, that's smaller than the Glass Slipper Challenge. That's obviously smaller than the Goofy and the Dopey. That's very doable.
Yeah, at the end of the race, you're not dead. You can actually enjoy yourself, you know. You can go in and have a good time after the race is over.
Me and Sam will run for a grapefruit beer in Epcot.
That's right.
I could walk for that. I could potentially get it. $75 for the 5K, $110 for the 10K. The half marathon is $200.
What's the age limit for the kids' race?
It does not say. The Perfect. Kids' race is
less than adults.
Yeah.
It was 14 and a half marathon before, so I'm going to assume they haven't changed that because Jake was able to run his first one last year for that reason.
That's cool. Are you considering it, Ed?
Oh, yeah, the kids' race, definitely.
Okay.
Now, tell me what, did you mention when the registrations begin?
Yeah, I had it a second ago. It is 9:22.
Okay, awesome.
There might be, though, Rod had a good point off air. Sign up for emails because usually, maybe almost always, there are annual pass, DVC, et cetera, early registration, and that could be true with this one as well.
And they're tough. I'm sure this one's going to be tough to get into on top of it.
Sure, you put those two words in front of it, Star Wars, forget about it.
Well, it doesn't even matter. Every East Coast Run Disney event sells out in minutes anymore. So.
True.
And this one's going to be nice. Sold out in 20 minutes this last time that I signed up.
Yeah.
Wow. Hopefully, did they have problems computer-wise and stuff like that?
Several times.
Oh,
I remember hearing
there
was a lot of issues this last time.
I didn't sign up for that, but Marathon Weekend, I know the half and Glass Slipper Challenge sold out pretty quickly. I don't know if it was 20 minutes, but...
I'm going to sign up for it to email me 20 minutes after they go on sale, so I'm going to be like, damn, I missed it.
Whoops. Yeah, you tried.
Right. I really had all intentions.
Right.
Hey, speaking of computer issues, I got one quick thing that I noticed. The My Disney Experience app was updated this week on my Apple devices. I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but it has now integrated PhotoPass.
Oh, that is another piece of news. It did.
Yeah.
All devices.
And it looks pretty cool. I can't wait to try it because it looks like you can preview and download your photos soon after they're taken. That's pretty cool.
And if we're talking apps, now that we're doing a whole new show, now there's the new Shop Disney Parks app. So instead of calling merchandising anymore, you can download this app on all devices, as far as I know, and shop from stores in the Disney parks and have it sent to you.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's cool.
You know what option I want for that Shop Disney? I want the stores online or the store online to tell me what store I can buy that at the park.
It does.
Oh, it does. Yeah. Oh, excellent.
Nice.
Perfect. Yeah, I'm excited to try that out. I just heard about it this week, so.
Yeah, looks like it was posted yesterday on the Disney Parks blog.
Is that a separate app or is that part of
It's a separate app. Shop Disney Parks mobile app.
Time to make a new little folder on my phone.
I know, right?
I like that. Find it in the park, scan and purchase. So you can basically walk in, scan the tag on, they're showing a Minnie Mouse plush. Scan the tag and you just bought it.
Show like an Apple store. Like you don't ever talk to anybody. You just buy your thing and walk out.
Yeah, well, I scanned it, damn it. I mean, come on, Disney Security.
Dude, can you oh, man, I'm already thinking. I'm in line for some limited edition merchandise. I scan it and then send the picture to you guys and you guys buy it. Yeah.
There you go. Sure.
Yeah, there. Thought that one through. Sure. Anyway.
Tell you what, guys. I am starting to get very hungry.
Me too. Let's go. What do you got?
Okay, well, I tell you what. Let's talk some new things that are happening with Food and Wine this year, 2015.
The 20th anniversary.
Very true.
Of 20 years. That's pretty crazy.
Now, Jen, you were talking about, you heard about merchandise for the 20th?
Yeah. I don't know that it's going to be anything out of the ordinary, but they definitely are featuring at D23 in the merchandise, one of the merchandise panels. They showed some very specific 20th anniversary Food and Wine Festival. So they're definitely, despite not really having a ton of like noteworthy celebrations, they're definitely acknowledging it on all the merchandise.
Very cool. Let me guess. It's going to be the cookbook cover. It's going to be the cup. It's going to be the apron.
I've already gotten hints from my wife about the Food and Wine, Dooney and Burke.
Is there one? I didn't see any pictures of that.
Yeah, there's a brand new one. There's a post on her in Disney Parks blog. It says 20th.
And for you guys out there, that's pocketbooks they're talking about.
Yeah, it looks like to do me a favor, maybe edit that out of the show. I don't want to hear my wife.
Just don't tell your wife.
I'm gonna tag your wife on Facebook when I share the show, because if I gotta buy one, you're buying one too, buddy.
Looks like an appetizer plate, salt and pepper shakers, wine glasses, pins, turvis, like Tervis tumbler that looks like a wine glass. Shot glass or toothpick holder, t-shirts. There's like a suitcase. It looks like
toothpick holder, t-shirts. Well, it depends what you put in it.
I'm just asking. Toothpick holder. Is that a shot glass?
Yeah,
it's just a picture.
that's usually the code word for a shot glass at Disney. Right. Toothpick holder.
And there's the chef's hat and ornaments, and so there you go.
I'm liking the Figment here. I'm seeing on the pass holder t-shirt and on a couple of other things. Last year we started to see Figment on the Food and Wine Festival merchandise, and he's all over this stuff again this year. I love it.
Okay, real quick, just the thought that comes to my mind is like they're taking advantage of Figment. Why have such a bad attraction, but then you use Figment everywhere you can?
Nostalgia.
They should back it up.
Advantage of Figment. I think he should strike.
It holds promise to the fact that whatever they end up doing with Imagination, Figment's still going to be here. So as long as he's still on merchandise, I love it. So I'm good with it.
Okay.
There's a Swedish Chef Vinylmation. Like, I'm not a Vinylmation fan.
Is there really?
I am a Swedish Chef fan. Yeah.
That's cool.
That's very cool. But we're not going for the merchandise. Well, maybe some of us are. You guys aren't.
Once I'm full.
Yeah. Right. After I've eaten.
So what are we going to eat?
The little appetizer plates are those things are great.
Well, along with this year's food and wine, there are some new things. One of the things we read, or I read earlier in my annual pass magazine, what's that thing called again?
Mickey Monitor.
Right, exactly. They're going to be offering a port wine glass this year to annual pass holders. However, you do have to do a little bit jumping through hoops for it. It seems like all you need to do is go to 3 different days during the Food and Wine Festival, going to Epcot, get your book stamped, dated for those 3 days, and then the third day you get yourself a glass.
That's make cool. sure you have a valid photo ID and your valid annual pass.
True. Very true. And it actually takes place at Innovations as opposed to being over in the Food and Wine Center.
Yeah, Innovations East, which is pretty cool.
In the interest of research, and I'm going to have to force myself to go 3 times.
Right.
So that I can get the glass. You know, I'm a giver, and I'm willing to do that for you guys.
Thank you. Yeah, we appreciate it.
Anything you can do.
Limited quantities while supplies last.
Well, we're going in the first week, so we should be fine.
Yeah, you should be fine.
I don't know. I have PTSD from the expo. Limited quantities means that you're not ever going to see it.
Well, hopefully we will.
No, I think it will. I'm excited. I think it'll be great.
Excellent. What other news do we have as far as this year's Food and Wine?
Something new also introduced for this year is Remy's Ratatouille Hide and Squeak. It's debuting this year at Epcot International Food and Wine Festival. And I'm going to take this directly from the Disney Parks blog. It says, we've been cooking up something for Epcot International Food and Wine Festival 2015. Beginning September 25th, while supplies last, Sergeant, take part in Remy's Ratatouille Hide and Squeak and help Remy as he ventures around the World Showcase at Epcot collecting ingredients for his signature dish, Ratatouille. Recipe for success. Record your discoveries as you help Remy find each ingredient by placing the corresponding sticker in the specially themed mat to represent that location. Maps and stickers can be purchased for $7.95 plus tax at the following locations in the park. Maps and stickers and surprise available while supplies last. No discounts apply. Purchase limited. So in Epcot, you can get it at Disney Traders, the Festival Center, Penn Central, Port of Entry, and World Traveler, which is in the International Gateway. And whether you choose to search for each ingredient or not, return your map to the Redemption Center location at Port of Entry by November 16, 2015, and pick up your surprise. And your surprise is a nice pen.
Interesting that it says whether you search or not. So you could probably just buy the map.
So
and
right, you're actually buying the pen for $7.95.
Right.
And just real quick, because it's a New Orleans accent I'm dealing with, is it a P-E-N or a P-I-N?
So this is the Easter egg hunt. If you guys remember, at Easter you could purchase a map that came with stickers and a pin, but what would happen is you'd walk around World Showcase and look for the hidden eggs and the characters in the eggs, mm-hmm. and you take your sticker off and you put it on your map and you go all the way around World Showcase, and when you get to the end you hand it to the merchandise person and they give you your pin. this is a great way to get the kids engaged. I love it.
Yeah, because my kids love the passports, but this is even cooler.
This just to, hey, look for the ingredients.
$8.
And if it's a nice collector's pin, that's awesome. This we'll is
post pictures of pins in the show notes.
Perfect. This is a scavenger hunt. Go and find the ingredients so Remy can make his whatever he's making. His ratatouille, of course. Yeah. Right. It's perfect. Great way to get kids involved.
I think so too. I agree.
I think those are great announcements. All of them.
I'm going to do it too, by the way.
I think I'm going to do it too. Let's do it as a group.
Okay, well, I tell you what, that's some of the new announcements coming out of Food and Wine. And as we go through the countries, I'm sure we're going to hear about some other new things too. So that's what we're going to do. We don't have the map yet, so we're going to basically just go alphabetical. And once you listen to the show, you can go to Disney's website. They've got a great listing of the new Food and Wine events and the menus they have for each of the countries also.
So I think before we get started, let me ask one question. And I want everybody's opinion. When's the best time to go to the Food and Wine Festival? Or when do you go to get the best out of it, right? When do you – because let's face it, Friday night, Saturday night, the place is unbelievably crowded. And if you're there on a vacation with your family, with the kids, that might not be the place that you want to be on Friday night or Saturday.
I would say if you're there, you know, with your family looking for a family vacation, I would avoid – and not that it's rowdy or crazy or anything like that, but it's a lot of adults, a lot of locals go there to eat and drink and enjoy, you know, it's a lot more adult entertainment. I mean, I think you could make an argument that Epcot's themed toward adults a little more than the other parks to begin with, and this is certainly more of an adult environment.
We've always gone like 11 a.m. to 1 or 2. Like, that's been our grazing
Monday,
lunch.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Any day that we're there. Yeah, just as soon as the booth's open.
If you're paying one as a group and you've got in-laws or other people that can go and watch the kids and you want to wait and maybe have a night out with the wife or something and have grandparents watch the kids, the Friday, Saturday night is a fantastic time to go do that.
Agree. Yeah.
Especially if you want to catch any of the, like, the Eat to the Beat concert or the Party for the Senses.
Absolutely.
Tiffany's there this year. Come on.
But like as Jen said, though, if you're interested in the food or catching a specific kiosk or marketplace, I guess they're calling them this year, the best time to go is for lunch. Definitely between 11 and 1 o'clock. Last year when we were down there, we were there on a Saturday, first weekend of Food and Wine, and it got pretty jammed by 2, but 11 o'clock, 11:30, the kiosks were open, and they were pretty empty.
Yep, that's the time.
And here's a little hint that we noticed last year. Some of the booths, actually, when we were walking, because we were walking through World Showcase coming from the boardwalk to go start the meet, and some of the booths were open a little before 11.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. I think Scotland might have been open, or Australia. Somebody, you're right.
Some of the ones, especially close to right there, the walkway that goes to the fountain, those were opened a little bit earlier. Time of the year, I looked at it on touringplans.com's crowd calendar, and the week we go is like one of the least, according to the touringplans.com crowd calendar, is one of the least busiest weeks.
Nice.
That
is awesome.
And since I brought up. Go ahead.
I was going to say, and it's not the first weekend, it's the second weekend, so it takes a little bit off the crowd level, too.
I'll be there for the first weekend and the second weekend.
Yeah, if I can inject, too, about the time of year that's good to go, meeting up with you guys there when we're all going to be together, it is fantastic for crowds. We have always kind of gone around the same time that the Wine and Dine Half Marathon is being held because we typically run it. My sisters and my son and I, we all run together, my cousins. But that's kind of a busy week because a lot of, you know, the crowds kind of swell because you had a lot of runners come in. You have, you know, tens of thousands of people that are there for that running event alone. But as far as time of year, I got to tell you still, which also the first week of November, which is typically when the Wine and Dine Half is, also coincides with Jersey Week when all the kids have all school in Jersey. So you've got the mass exodus down from the Northeast. But even at that, if you manage to go, if you're here on vacation during that time and you go on a weeknight, it's still a lot of people, but it's not uncomfortably crowded, if that makes sense.
It's not overwhelming.
Yeah, you can still go. You can get, you know, the lines are not ridiculous at the various marketplaces and booths. Epcot is my favorite park, and my wife, Anita, and I, it's our favorite thing. It's just Walk World Showcase and get the wines and sample the foods and all that good stuff. Man. And even that time, the weather's great and the crowds. I agree with all of you guys. If I can avoid the weekend, I will. But if you hit a weeknight, even during a somewhat crowded week, it's still not uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I guess the bottom line is those weekend nights are busy. That's what it comes down to.
Yep. Hey, talking about the week of the year and all that earlier, I mentioned touringplans.com, and just full disclosure, that touringplans.com is one of our sponsors of the show. And I don't want to not mention it. So if you go to their website to get full access, you do have to subscribe, but we have a discount code. It's 15NERDS, NERDS, 15NERDS, and it gets you 20% off of a subscription. I think after the discount, it costs maybe about $10 a year, and it gives you full access to the site and the Lines app. So,
yeah, and I tell you what, I check touring plans all the time. I rely on them when the parks are busy. So definitely I trust their information.
Yeah, the Lines app is fantastic when you're in the parks.
Okay, well, I tell you what, guys, I'm still getting really hungry over here. So I tell you what, let's take a walk around the World Showcase. And let's hit some of these countries and see what we're going to be looking at.
The global marketplaces. Let's go.
Yes.
And as we're going through our alphabetical marketplaces, we're going to start with Africa. And Africa looks pretty good from last year. I've been told the butter chicken is phenomenal, so I'm probably going to have to try that this year.
It's my favorite Sana dish, so if it's that, that's delicious. And naan is always worth a stop.
Sure.
Sounds and that's good. Directly from the restaurant?
I mean, that's one of their main dishes, so I assume it's very similar, if not exactly the same.
Naan is like that flatbread that they cook, like that kettle thing.
In the tandoori oven, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So good.
Very cool. So now, as we go through country to country, we're just going to basically see if anything really stands out for us. Something that really we're looking forward to, or just was so great from last year that we can't stay away from.
The Berber-style beef was pretty good, but I will warn, it doesn't look exactly appetizing, and it's because of the pap, which is almost like a cream of wheat. So it didn't. When I got it, I'm like, hmm. But when I ate it tasted really good. It was enjoyable. I would get it again.
Okay, and that's the biggest recommendation. Are you going to get it again?
Sure.
Okay, so let's move on to Australia. And the first thing that really stuck out for me, Australia wise, is I think they changed the shrimp recipe in here this year. Didn't they have like a garlic shrimp last year?
I don't remember the one that's listed.
And this one listed this year is more of like a pineapple, berry shrimp. It's got a lot of things going on for it.
Well, I tell you, I don't know about that, but one thing that is one of our favorites, and it's back on the list this year. I mean, have you guys tried the grilled lamb chop with mint pesto?
Because that's no, but I love lamb and pesto. So
go together for that one. That's the stand we run for every year. That is amazing. I'm glad.
Mint pesto. I assume it's just like some mint leaves, not super minty flavor.
Yeah, not very much at all. And because it's a pesto, it's mixed in with, you know, a little oil of spices, and it just, the lamb is, it is so delicious. It's one of our very favorite things, one of the most succulent things you can have. And I should get, you know, an extra point for using the word succulent.
It's true. So. Very food and wine. It's on my list.
I like the handy
succulent or the
mostly the mint, the
okay, I'm just dish, wondering, like, if you were going to work succulent into a future
into show. Every I'm going to say it every venture. No, I mean, I love Australian wines, so I'm sure I'll grab one of those.
Very cool. Now, as far as wines go, unfortunately, I'm not a big connoisseur of the wine, but I do like to try something here and there. Mainly, I'm holding out for the beers, I think, this year, though.
Yeah.
There's a lot.
Yeah, oh, yeah, there is. There's plenty this year.
Yeah. And little bitty glasses.
Yeah. Wasn't that the one thing last year that kind of stood out, was that they only had the one-size beers?
Yeah. Unless you went to a booth,
normal place,
right, a place that wasn't there during food and wine, you could go get a regular size beer. So like the little cart in Germany that's always there, you could get a regular size beer. But at the craft beer booth and hops and all those places that are specific to the food and wine, they did the 6 ounce glasses.
I can remember last year how happy you were when you found that out.
Yeah, no, we were meeting Sam with both. Yeah.
But then when you step back and you pay half to get a small sample.
Yeah, and you get to try more. You get to try a bunch.
So that's, oh, sure. It ended up okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was fine.
Very cool. So let's move on to Belgium. And last year, I don't think I stopped for this one.
You want a waffle, it's...
Yeah, I think we talked about how delicious waffles are, but how that's not really a unique thing to the Food and Wine Festival.
Right.
Right, and actually, I did make a stop at Belgium, and it was for the beer. It was for the Stella Cider. I definitely had to try that out.
See, we can get that around here. I have that regularly, so it's good, but it's not worth the price.
Okay, well, at the time, it was something that was new. The only beer we could get Stella-wise was just the regular Stella, so...
I would definitely be interested in doing the flight here, which is Hoegaarden. I think it's pronounced Hoegaarden. My buddy Ian would kill me if he said it, because I would say Hoegaarden. He corrects me. Palm Amber Ale, Le Fay Blonde, and the Stella Cider.
Stella!
That's probably not a bad flight, Ed, if maybe we'll split one of those or something.
See that? And then you're getting four beers, and you're really only drinking two.
I like the flights they had at the craft beer place, but we'll talk about those when we get to it.
Sure.
Okay, now next is Block and Hans, or Hans. And I never really got that. What does Block and Hans refer to? Anybody know?
I do not know.
Google probably does.
Do not.
This is the...
Well, that's something we'll figure out in the meanwhile.
That's the craft beer place that was once beach towels, that was once children's books, that was...
Oh, yeah, that's the place, that, place that has the Purple Haze.
It did anyway. Now
it did. It doesn't look like it's going to.
They have a Lassiter family wine on there, though, which is...
At one time, they were selling beach tiles out of there. It's right next to the funnel cake place in America.
And I don't know if you remember the book, the kids' books, where they put your kid's name inside.
Oh, yeah.
They did that in there.
Sure.
I have a lot of pictures of that thing because it seemed like every time I went, it was something different. And then when it was a beer place, I thought, beautiful. Perfect.
This is way better than beach tiles.
Get the beach.
That's when you had the tables set up kind of in a family style where people, you just sit across from strangers and start talking and that little grassy area.
Mm-hmm. No, not in the grassy area. No, this is by, you know where the smokehouse was for, this is right in front of American Adventure.
Oh, okay, yeah.
To the left of the waffle.
And it's right next to the funnel cake place.
It's the stand where they have all those beers now.
Yep.
The different types of beers you can get.
Yeah.
Like normally. Okay, well, cool. And actually, the wine that really sticks out for me right there is Fess Parker Frontier. Just seeing Fess Parker's name on a wine bottle is pretty phenomenal.
So is it more phenomenal than seeing Hansen's name on a beer? Remember the Zumbop?
That was funny.
Yeah, the Fess Parker wines are good. He's got some really good wines. We can get them up. Well, we could get them in Virginia. I haven't seen them here in Florida, but he's got some really good wines. And back in the early days of the wine festival, he came on at least two occasions I can think of, and he did a little wine show where he told you a little bit about what they were making and their different types of wines. I would love to have gotten him on one of those. I kicked myself for not having joined one back then.
Right. Yeah, you don't realize at the time, but definitely, that would have been fun to see. Okay, well, let's move on, and we're moving to the country of Brazil. And the most famous dish in Brazil for the last couple of years has been the pork belly.
Pork belly. Yes, please.
Yeah, none of this looks good to me. Well, I don't know, Brazilian cheese bread. That sounds good.
Yeah, and I have to try the pork belly again this year. I only had it once last year, and it wasn't the greatest, but everybody else says it's awesome, so I'm going to go with that.
I like the pork belly.
Well, they've got that layered meat pie this year, too.
That just sounds like a nightmare for me, mixing all that stuff together. I, like, keep my food separate on the plate.
Yes.
I keep it separate on the plate. I eat it one at a time. Yeah.
Well, you know, the way – if you click over on the picture with the Disney food blog, it looks amazing. And, you know, Jennifer, I'm like you. I like to keep my food separate. I don't mix. I don't even like my food to touch. At my cousin's wedding, she gave me one of those little separator trays.
So Scott brings his own plate to your parties.
Yeah, with my food. But this looks incredible. I mean, it just the layers of meat and spices that are in it, it looks incredible. Maybe I can pull out another two-point word. We'll call this one delectable.
There you go.
There you go. That kind of looks like the shepherd's pie. And that mashed yucca or yuca definitely is in place of the mashed potatoes on top of it. So that could be definitely something to try.
Yeah,
it's on my list for sure.
Yeah. Okay, very cool. The next country we're going to go to is Canada. And Canada has gotten the same things every year, except I think the chicken sausage is the difference. However, they have the standard cheddar cheese soup, which I usually do get every year. And they also have that beef filet mignon, which I did not get last year out of protest of the price.
I love ice wine.
Yeah, the ice wine is good there. I like
that. The ice wine's good. So I look at Canada as cheddar cheese soup, the filet with wild mushrooms, and something else that I never get.
Right.
So that's the way that booth goes down. Yeah. And then that's what it'll be again this year. So sorry, chicken and sausage.
So are any of you guys cheddar cheese soup fans? I never have, and I know it's like the rage with so many.
Yes, yeah, I get that every year.
Yeah, it's pretty fantastic.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Worth trying.
How much was the steak, Ed?
It was like $8 or $9 last year.
So was the lobster tail, right?
Yeah,
those were the two most expensive things.
Yep. And it's not it's a luck of the draw what kind of piece of meat you get. And that's what throws me off.
You
guarantee
I agree
it's
with
the
that.
Same awesome piece all the time. I have no problem spending $9 for it.
Terrific tip for people who are on the dining plan, though. You can use a snack credit for those things. So an $8, $9 steak, piece of steak, or a lobster roll is a fantastic value for your snack credit versus a bottle of water or something.
Sure. But keep
or
your eyes
crispy treat.
Yeah, I know, right? That's what everybody uses it. But keep your eyes open. They might be doing some things differently this year. You never know when it's going to change up and something might not be included in your plan.
Usually you'll know on the menu boards, there'll be the little purple and white dining plan logo next to it if it's available.
Yeah, and that definitely stays throughout, like not just during the regular restaurants, but at the Food and Wine Festival, you're right. That's exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay. Now, the next place we're going to talk about is the Cheese Studio, which happens to be one of the new things. And actually, it's something that's really kind of brought back.
Country of cheese.
That was not me.
That was actually
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yes.
Now,
you know I love the Country of Cheese.
They have two new booths. There's the Cheese Studio booth, and then there's also going to be a wine tasting booth. And they're meant to be, I guess, used together, so you could do the wine and the cheese tastings. The location, best we can figure out, these are going to be located a little bit into Future World. And until we know for sure map-wise, the way the articles make it sound, it looks like it's going to be on that area on the way into World Showcase, kind of where the Cranberry Bog was the last couple of years.
Anyway, we'll find it.
Where the used to be before it moved to the Odyssey.
So is this on anybody's list of must-do that's really a cheese fan?
Oh, yeah, Jennifer. She's like the mayor. She's mayor of the country of cheese.
I don't think countries have a mayor.
President, dictator,
prime minister.
Yes.
Right. Did you see they also have an apple ice wine here as well? Still River Winery.
I saw that. It's interesting. So the Cheese Studio has wines to drink, even though it's in that area with the wine studio.
Has cheese probably.
Yeah. And the wine studio has food to eat. Oh, no. Well, yeah, it's different things,
too.
Well,
you don't
want
to have to wait
to
go to the other booth.
Well, that's true. That's two lines, especially on those busier days.
Actually, to me, Cheese Studio, it's going to depend on how the trip's going. I mean, if it's really hot and we're trucking around, that might not be a place I'm going to stop. Okay, well, let's move on to another new booth, and it kind of has my attention. It's called the Chew Lab. Now, the Chew Lab is also going to be located in this Future World location, and it's got a lot of the cool new types of, I guess, culinary styles some of the chefs are using.
So this is inspired by the television show, right? The Chew.
The Chew, I think.
And they are going to be doing quite a few events at the festival itself. But this is sort of them pulling an ABC TV show in and getting some gain out of that. So those types of chefs that you're talking about are what's featured on the show. So this is pretty cool.
I think the technical term, Ed, and forgive me, but my wife likes to watch a lot of cooking shows, is like it's molecular gastronomy.
It's what?
I get that.
Yeah, molecular gastronomy. That's like the, you know, they're using foams and they're using, you know, liquid nitrogen and they're science to make food.
Liquid nitro chocolate almond truffle. So right there.
That looks amazing.
That looks
with
incredible.
With warm whiskey caramel. Oh my gosh.
Can I have a shot of the warm whiskey caramel? You can see the chocolate truffle.
And are you guys interested in trying this smoking hibiscus mezcal?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's got my attention.
It looks cool.
I mean, if you see the picture, you see it's got to be some liquid nitro, like we said, or something, because it's smoking all around this hibiscus. I just, it looks like something you got to try at least once.
Now you're going to make me go look at them.
Yeah. Sounds fantastic. Yeah. So I like this matchup here. This is cool.
That's cool.
It looks like milk.
No, yeah, it's...
It's saying cow, so I'm assuming that that's part, you know, the type of liquor that's in it, but I could be wrong, but whatever's in it, I'm going to try it.
You said it's liquor? I'm going to have it. That's exactly why I never had the blue milk. I never had the blue milk because there was no alcohol. This I will have.
The picture of the New York strip, parsnip, silk, basenic glaze, and arugula foam, the picture of it makes it look ridiculously fantastic.
See, I'm ready to camp out at this one.
Chew, baby.
Yeah, this is an interesting booth.
And I'll be honest, when they first announced it, like this Next Eats, whatever, I assumed I wouldn't like it, but everything looks good.
If you get there and smell it, you're never going to know if it's good for you. Okay, well, cool. Let's move on.
Yeah, sure.
And we're going to go to China next. And China last year had some good offerings, and I think this year it is a little different. Because I do remember the steamed bun, but this year they've got roasted duck inside of it. I think they had a beef thing inside last year, or pork. Yeah,
they did.
Pork. Yeah.
But I think that it was.
But this is that steamed bun that had the really really odd consistency, but it was great.
And I did not like duck at all.
What?
It's too dark meaty. I mean, that's exactly what it is. But I don't like dark meat.
I was about to say, I hate to tell you, it is dark meat.
I know.
It looks like there's a lot of seasoning and flavors going on.
Yes, the dark meats tend to be a little flavorful because they're more moist. I actually like duck, so I'm gonna give that a shot.
I'm gonna give that a shot, and I like hoisin sauce too.
Right, I love pot stickers, but I never get them at Food and Wine because they are available.
Yeah, if you're can get those. Anytime. You can get those at Yak and Yeti. You can get them at, in China, those are the same ones that are available everywhere.
Yeah, but if someone's coming that doesn't go often, they're delicious, so.
Yeah, they are. They're very good.
Now, you look at that duck with hoisin sauce. Now, doesn't that look like that would go great with the drink they've got listed here, the Kung Fu Punch with vodka and triple sec?
Or we could just drink the Kung Fu Punch.
So I was going to say, guys, grab me a Kung Fu Punch while you're in line because I'm going to be over at Canada getting a steak. You guys can have this stuff.
There you go. Well, that's what's so great about this. Everybody's got their favorites, and you can kind of just hang out for yours. Now, I do want to mention one of the wines they have offering, Francis Ford Coppola, Suyin Riesling.
That was, yeah.
So just again, another famous name has wine, and it's got a Chinese hook to it.
That was there last year, and Sam, I think Sam said the same thing, wait, what? Why? Why is that?
And he's got a pretty big... I've drank his wines before. I've bought bottles of Coppola wine.
Yeah, but why is it in China and not somewhere in the U.S.?
Hey, I'm sure he made a movie with Chinese people in it.
Because he can get a premium for it in China. That's it. I get it.
Now, what they also offer that bubble drink, the popping bubbles, mango jasmine tea, which is always fun to drink. It's got those little
bubble tea.
Gelatin balls in there. Which is kind of cool. Kids like that. I don't think that's alcohol.
What about a ritzy lychee with cognac and vodka?
Yes, okay.
I don't even know what it is, but it sounds...
They make juices and stuff at the... Oh my goodness, what is it called, guys? The counter service. Lotus Blossom. Mm.
Oh, okay.
And there was an ice cream once, too. Yeah, it's good.
Oh, coming up with my favorite booth.
We're coming up to the craft beer center, which is located in the Odyssey Restaurant.
This is where we will be starting our meet.
Correct. Yep. Half sample-a-thon.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Ooh, Orlando Brewing Grateful Pumpkin. That sounds good.
Here's the part where I got how they're switching over to fruitiness, in that we've got a blueberry vanilla ale, we've got the Grateful Pumpkin, we've got the... I saw another one, a honey cream ale, I guess, but that's not too fruity, but still just a little bit different. So a lot of different flavors to go with the normal hoppy stuff that you can get there. And there's some great flight offers, and it looks like they have a little bit more food this year.
And I don't know if you mentioned.
Last year they had those muffalata rolls, and they...
Yeah. It's different food this year, yeah.
Bloody Mary shrimp cocktail, that's pretty cool.
And the craft beers, I know we talked at one point, are all from Florida, so that's kind of different. Cool.
It's interesting, because this is the first year I've seen them do that.
Yeah, a couple of these are just down the street from where we've moved to. The one here that's for St. Petersburg, and also the one right here in Clearwater. I mean, these are practically my front and backyard. So
cool.
I'm really looking forward to trying those out, because if I like them, I know where to go find them.
That's definitely. Good. Probably, well, you know, cheaper too.
I have a funny story about that, Rod. It was like three years ago, me and my wife were at Food and Wine, and we went to the craft beer booth. Now, this was when it was in the truck that was kind of on that walkway to World Showcase. And it was right about the point where I was just trying to start drinking different beers other than just regular light beer. And so we each wanted to try something different, and I tried Abita Purple Haze, which is basically like 20 minutes from me is the brewery. But I had never tried any of their beers, and I loved it. I actually got all three of these guys on Purple Haze, and I think all of them love it.
I have it in my fridge almost all the time now.
Right. So it's funny that I had to go all the way to Florida to the craft beer booth to pick up a beer, to find a beer that they make 20 minutes from me.
That's funny.
Well, hanging out with all of you guys, see, I've got like 9 items on my must do at the Florida, at the wine festival this year. So,
and we're only on D. We're on C. Well, the next one's D.
So here's what I like there, though. There are 8 different taps, which is 2 flights. You have all 8. Here we go. That makes it nice and convenient.
We did that last year, didn't we?
Sure did.
We got both flights.
We got both flights, and we had all 8 beers.
What's nice about that is if there's one you don't like, chances are somebody there will like it.
Yeah, Jimmy will drink it.
Don, you know what? There's some I don't like. Not many, but there's some I don't like.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay, well, the next stop on our list is the Desserts and Champagne, which is a booth I never really stop at. Jen, have you stopped at this one? Didn't you say you're a big...
What kind of question is that? Of course you
stopped. I stopped. I don't remember what I got there last year.
But I remember something specific you went for here.
I just went because it's Desserts and Champagne. This year, the Strawberry Basil Champagne sounds amazing. What made me mad, and it's back on the list, are these Julienne Belgian chocolate seashell truffles that are like $3 for one tiny little like nickel sized piece of chocolate that wasn't that great. Oh. In a package. Like it wasn't something they made.
Pre packaged,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, it was really bizarre, and I'm surprised that it's back.
I remember last year you talking about that.
Yeah, it was just really strange. So I don't know. I do love, I've mentioned before, I love the Iron Horse Fairy Tale Cuvée, which is a Disney commissioned champagne. It's never at this booth, which is weird. So,
Sam, they got Dom, son.
I saw the Dom on there. What? I did see that.
I'm tempted just to, I mean, I don't know how much it's going to be for a glass, probably way too much, but maybe I won't eat and I'll just try that to compare.
Cream soda float with caramel ice cream sounds pretty damn
good. What about chocolate cherry explosion?
Yeah.
Just sounds like one of those chocolate covered cherries. Okay, well, I tell you what, let's move on. And we're coming to a booth that's actually been gone from the Food and Wine since 2007, and it's back for the first time since. It's the Dominican Republic.
Which means something got booted, and we think it's Terra, so sorry.
Terra. Yeah, but you
I'm
made
not
a good
sorry
point.
At all.
You made it Terra anyway, as you saw there.
It's all like, yeah, it was
this
all
was a
like.
Good trade. This was a good trade.
Yeah, it was a good trade.
Right, and we did notice that Puerto Rico was gone, so I'm interested to see if they put somebody else back in that nice little area.
But, I'm wondering, is that why, is maybe their food similar? Puerto Rico know. And Dominica, I mean, they're right next to each other.
I don't know. It doesn't look familiar. It doesn't look like it was Puerto Rico. Okay. The grouper, and I don't eat fish that much, but the grouper looks really good.
I think everything here looks good.
Yeah, it does.
So we got rid of Terra. We got rid of vegan food, and we picked up a roasted pork. This is with red onion and avocado. Oh, my God.
Right?
Oh, God, that's so good.
There you go. Here
we are
on the list.
12, 13, and 14 on the must-have.
I know.
Frozen, Dominican, and pina colada.
I don't do frozen drinks.
What?
Depends on the time of day.
You can't live in New Orleans, Jimmy, then, because we're all about daiquiris.
Jimmy, sure, let it go. Cocktail. Let it go, Jimmy, let it go.
Okay,
well, we're going to put number 15 on that list.
Ron,
because...
you're ready to... Write some more down.
We're coming to the Farm Fresh stand, so which was a big favorite for us last year. This is probably the one I hit the most, and for that griddled yard bird, which I thought was incredible. This year, they didn't have the mac and cheese last year. They had something else. Didn't they have potatoes or something?
I don't remember.
Sam, I don't know. The yard bird.
I don't remember either, but it's what I got the whole time we were there. What did Farm Fresh have? I'll have it in a second.
I don't remember what it was. You don't have – I got them.
I got it in front of me, but I can't find Farm Fresh.
I got a book.
Because what I'm looking at is not in alphabetical order.
Although not right. Cookbook.
But along with that, though, I just wanted to point out, too, the drinks at the Farm Fresh look like they're...
Pepper bacon hash. Sorry.
Bacon hash, yes.
Yeah, pepper, bacon, yeah, I definitely hash. Got the Yardbird.
Okay. And they have a lot of, like I said, the fruit items, fruit types of beers and wines.
A lot of ciders.
Pear hard cider, which...
Delicious.
I can't imagine what that's going to taste
like. I hate pears, and pear cider is great.
You can get that over in the United Kingdom at their booth. They have pear cider there all the time. And it's
the other good thing about the griddled Yardbird is that Ed doesn't like greens.
Oh, yeah, so anybody wants...
So I got to eat his greens because I love greens.
So I got to finish most of Ed's. That's what was right. good about it.
You know, hey, what
we're together, you can have mine too.
There you go.
Oh, geez. I'll share.
He's got himself a salad.
I mean, I'll eat
and them. I like vegetables. They just didn't hit me right.
That's oh, those braised greens were so good. Oh my god.
Yep.
I'm excited about this Two Henry's elderberry hard cider. I've never had an elderberry cider, but I've had a couple of elderberry drinks in the last couple of years that I loved.
Well, there's the whole flight.
There's an elderberry something else further on that I was debating on trying, but I can't remember what elderberry tastes like or smells like, so I have to get that down again. Okay, well, anyway, let's move on.
I just realized that the Fife and Drum Tavern has the hops. The Hansen beer.
We are drinking that, and we are singing, Jimmy.
Hops.
We're going
to
be singing.
Well, that'll be just in time for us to watch the Eat to the Beach show, right?
Yes.
By the time we get to that area, so you guys can do the show yourself. okay, so we're moving on to France. And France looks similar to last year. Snails and beef.
I never did try the escargot, guys.
I did once.
I told you. Oh, you gotta try that. There was a snail we ended up trying them on outside the cruise. Of the boardwalk. It's like on the staircase, like on the rail.
Yeah, no. Okay.
I can't bring myself to eat them.
Now, they are in the croissant this time around, which I think is different. And they are going to be out of the shell, I believe, too.
I can't remember. We just recently went with a buddy of mine to a restaurant here. It's the oldest French restaurant, and just old, I think it's the oldest restaurant in New Orleans, but it's a French restaurant called Antoine's, and they got escargot, and I couldn't bring. They offered it to me to try it, and I couldn't.
Mm-hmm. Kyle ordered it at Royal Court on the Fantasy last year.
I can't get past the thought of the look of the snail.
Yeah. We have to, yeah.
So it came out of the I did get it a few years ago. It comes in, it almost looks like a tray that you would serve eggs in. So there's
that's how it was at this restaurant.
Yeah, yeah, and they're sorted down in it.
So it's not in a shell.
No, this year it's in a croissant.
Which, that's right.
Yeah, I'm good. Now, braised short ribs? Hey.
And creme brulee?
Yeah.
And a Cronenberg?
Okay, Rod, I have to tell you, I don't know how well you know Sam, but we're talking about, what was the thing I was thinking before that? Oh, the Hanson song and the escargot, and I will warn you, Sam's video camera is always running, so you know.
Yeah, don't do anything you don't want to be public.
And I found some video from last year that will be edited as soon as my computer wants to work the right way for me, but... We will get a look back to last year, getting ready for next year video soon.
All right.
Nice.
On the YouTube.
Well, that's good advice. I am going to keep the camera pointed.
That's right.
Just understand you are probably being recorded. If not video, he's got audio on you.
That's true. Audio is easy. That's just hidden. You guys won't even know where it is.
Right. Look wild.
All right. Moving on.
Okay.
Moving on.
So moving on to a couple of the G countries.
Here we go. One of my favorites.
Germany and Greece kind of look like they have the same items, and it looks the basic type of items you're going to get from each of these countries.
Oh, same as last year. I was like, what?
That's okay.
I think it's the same as one another.
A bratwurst and a pretzel roll is awesome.
Yeah, I was right last year. It was good.
Mm-hmm. I like the apple strudel, and I love Greece.
Yeah, you don't like bratwurst?
No, I hate German food, which is funny being in Cincinnati.
What?
I'm all for it. I like it.
Me too.
Uh-huh. And then moving on to Greece, also we have a gyro, a Greek salad, and something with sausage crumbles, vegetarian moussaka, which sounds Japanese, with Gardein's herd. And I'm gonna say that it's probably vegetarian sausage. Now looking at this whole thing.
So you say gyro?
Well, I was gonna say, is it gyro? Is it gyro?
Well, I tell you what,
I say gyro.
With an H?
It is supposed to be gyro, but it's even the Greek guys that run the restaurant down the block from me call it a gyro.
See, I say gyro, which is different than both of you.
Yeah, that's why I was wondering.
Yeah, how about that? We'll have to ask when we get down there.
What do you say, Rod? Gyro or gyro or gyro?
Or gyro.
Or gyro.
Or gyro. Yeah, there's another one.
You know what? I'm living just south of Tarpon Springs, which is heavy, heavy Greek population, great food, great places. Everybody down there, I hear them call it a gyro.
Really?
Gyro.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
So I figure if it's good enough for the Greeks, I'm going with it.
Hey.
When in Rome, baby. That's what I'm doing. What did you call that? It's good. That's what I want.
Yeah.
I had, actually, you know what? I had one for lunch today.
Nice.
Awesome.
Okay. And moving on to somewhere nice is Hawaii.
One of the best things there.
The pork slider.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yep.
And definitely. I love the tuna.
I don't know if I had it.
The pork, okay. The pork slider with sweet and sour dole pineapple and spicy mayo.
Yeah, and I remember the mayonnaise was the thing that stuck out because it
You get the sweet of the pineapple and then the spicy of the mayo with the little pork. It is good. Yep. I like that one a lot.
You had the tuna last year, Jen?
Yes, it was delicious.
Uh-huh. Now, is that how do they prepare that? Cooked or raw?
It's pretty rare, but it's delicious.
Nice.
It is. I hate mayonnaise and I love this one because it's just that good.
Oh, yeah. No, they throw a lot of stuff in that mayo.
I had this pineapple wine last year, too. That was good.
How did that taste? Like, how sweet is pineapple wine?
Like the ice wine, but, I mean, not the same flavor, but that same, like dessert winey flavor.
Gotcha. Mad Dog.
Jimmy, are we going to walk past Hawaii on our way from the Odyssey to American Garden Theater?
I don't know. Where is it?
I thought it was on the other side.
I think it is on the other side.
Right near Puerto Rico, between Puerto Rico and where Scotland was, maybe.
Damn it. Yeah. We should walk the other way.
We're going to be there more than that one day.
I know. Well, I was going to say, the other thing we haven't discussed yet is that, you know, the meet, we're talking about ending at 8 o'clock for the last showing of Starship.
And the
it's only about 20 minutes, and then Illumination's until 10, so we can continue on that route, and then it'd be time to get something probably to eat.
Yeah, we'll be in Hawaii. All right, I'm watching Illuminations from Hawaii. I don't know exactly where that is, but it works for me.
Okay, so after Hawaii, we're going to continue on with our H's, and we're going to stop at the Hops and Barley Stand. Now, based on that name, you'd think this place would be just beers, but they've got probably one of the most popular items here at Food & Wine is the lobster roll.
Lobster roll.
Which I passed up last year. I think I'm going to have to try this year.
Oh, it's delicious.
I'm not a big lobster fan, which, again, I would not live near Jimmy. Lobster, shrimp, I don't like
do lobster. Well, we do lots of shrimp, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think this grass-fed beef slider with pimento cheese sounds good. I don't remember that being there last time.
I kind of do, and I didn't like the pimento cheese. It just didn't seem to go with a warm sandwich, and that was just my own opinion.
And all these beers here, surprisingly, are ones that we can get just about anywhere around here. So I'm kind of, I don't know, that I probably won't be stopping there.
Well, it seems like they have a lot of Sam Adams Rebel IPA. Like, is that a specific type of Sam Adams? Every one of them has their special name going.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and actually, Sam Adams is listed twice.
The Rebel as well, yeah. No,
specifically. Oh, they got the Rebel IPA list twice, yeah.
Okay.
And the Dogfish Head, so they obviously
The second time it's listed is telling you what's included in the beer flight.
Yes.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, cool. Moving on to the Intermissions Cafe, which normally we wouldn't mention this because it sounds like just some drinks, but this has got some really good-sounding food.
So the cool part here, right, this is inside the Festival Center, or the old Wonders of Life building, and the great part here is it's inside, and there are seats, so you can actually get something and sit down and eat it.
This is where you can find the Iron Horse this year.
There you go.
So I wasn't going to go, because none of the food really stands out. It all sounds great, but not that unique, but I do love Iron Horse.
What's so special about it?
It's just delicious.
Uh-huh. Well, it's sparkling wine, so does it taste like champagne?
Yeah,
or it's definitely got its own thing going.
Yeah, it's more like a champagne.
Okay, cool. Moving on to Ireland and some more lobster. Lobster and seafood fisherman's pie. Cheese selection and some warm chocolate pudding.
Yeah.
With the Irish cream, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. With you, Jimmy. I could skip that one.
Yeah.
The fisherman's pie usually looks really good, but yeah, we'll have to see how it goes by the time we get to here. Moving on to Italy.
Yum.
And yeah, they usually have some great offerings here. Although I tend to pass the Italy Pavilion.
It looks to be the same as last year.
Yeah, I think so.
I will point out here, under the drinks, that frozen margarita with limoncello and tequila, the Italian margarita.
I love limoncello. Mm.
That is the exact same one that's over at the kiosk. So if you're in line for that, go get it at the kiosk. And at the kiosk, it's full size. It's a big one. That is my wife's absolute favorite drink. Get it there every time. And it's the same one, except you're going to get a big container instead of a little sample cup.
Got it.
Nice.
Good tip.
My wife will want that for sure.
It's good.
Awesome.
So do they make a, like, Italian margarita on the rocks?
You know what? It comes out of a machine already.
But I mean, does it exist? Is that a thing?
I'm sure you could get it inside Tutto Gusto.
Yeah.
But they're pouring it straight out of a machine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, so that one down.
Just like the ones over in France.
That orange.
Grand Marnier orange slush and the.
Yeah. Absolute. Now, usually an on the rocks Italian margarita is limoncello and amaretto, not tequila. Mm-hmm. It's a little different. It's a little cherry flavor, but anyway, I don't think anybody made this list.
Oh, yeah. I think I'm up the list. I think I'm like to 26 now.
Of must-haves, right.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, Italy has a couple of things that does grab my attention because, you know, I do love Italian food. You know, you get the cannolis there, which we typically always hit every time we go. Because about the time
– they're good, yeah.
By the time you hit Italy, you've been having a lot of kind of savory things. So it's kind of nice to have a break and get something sweet. And so to get the cannolis right there is usually a great place to kind of switch gears – maybe have something sweet, you know, grab the margarita, sit down for a minute, and then I'm ready to get up and eat again.
Nice.
Damn, I found another one that's missing. Oh, no, it's not.
What's that?
Well, I was going to say South Korea is because the kimchi dog is at a totally different booth, but yeah, South Korea is still there. So.
Yeah, I thought I lost it.
The kimchi dog moved, but we'll get there.
Okay, cool. Well, we're close. We're going to Japan next.
Japan!
And Japan has the standard things that they normally have.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. I mean, not that I'm not a fan, but I feel like you could get this type of stuff in the Japan Pavilion anytime.
Right. Although I do like the sake, and to have a drink called the and I'm not going to pronounce the first word right. Suge, drunken whale. Sounds like a good drink.
It's a drunk fish.
I was just gonna say, but I mean, wouldn't you think these you could get at the sake bar in Japan anyway?
I'm kind of with you.
I mean,
so
I would just cruise right through there. I don't even stop because I feel the exact same way. Even the beers, all of them, you know, typically you can get inside and I'm sure somebody's beating their dashboard right now and saying, Rod, you're an idiot. You missed it. People might be doing that all the time with my show anyway. But
right.
You know, the steamed shrimp vegetables in a spicy broth, that doesn't sound bad.
Oh, I don't think any of it's bad. I just feel like you could walk up the steps to the restaurant that's always there, the counter service.
Or, the counter surf up on top of the hill. Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. I feel like you could go there anytime and get most of the stuff.
Yeah, I feel the same way about the next pavilion, too.
Yeah, it's great food, and I typically eat at Japan at least once every trip. I love the food. It's just I agree with Jimmy. I feel like, well, I could probably just walk right up in there and get it as a regular meal. And when I'm doing the food and wine, I kind of want to sample some things I'm not going to get normally.
Right. Yes, agree.
Right. Definitely. And actually, what Jen said is true, because our next country is Mexico. And let me add the country after that, Morocco, also. The offerings they have in both those countries, Mexico with the tacos, some type of chicken. And Morocco has a kefta pocket and a chicken roll and the baklava.
Again, all stuff you can normally get there.
And in the past, we got one of the tacos. Actually, it was something different. It was a beef one that I don't see, but we got it at Mexico, and it's cut a little different, but not different enough to pay the premium for the booth when you can get it at the counter service, and you can get those paleta freeze pops and stuff at the counter. It's just a better option, I think, at the counter service.
Mm-hmm. Sam, tequila flight.
I saw the tequila flight, which I have gotten here before, but you can get that at the margarita stand at tequila flight. I don't know
Ocava.
If they're I don't know really? If they're different or not.
Sure.
You can get the tequila flight right outside at the margarita, the big old, the frozen one, right on World Showcase. You can get a flight there. The other thing that sticks out, Jimmy, is the Dos Equis lager with the floater.
Hey, we had
I'm sorry, what is that?
It's Dos Equis with a floater, and Jimmy and I got this last year at the
pomegranate?
At the counter service. It was a pomegranate shot or floater that they put inside the Dos Equis, and it tasted a lot like Purple Haze after
it did. It made it like a food. Yeah, it did. It really did.
That wasn't bad.
I don't know if it's worth the extra $4 they charge you for the floater, though.
In lieu of not having Purple Haze nearby, it was.
Maybe so. And yeah, it's more alcohol. I mean, it's a shot of liquor in your beer, so.
There's never anything wrong with that, right?
Probably the core.
Nothing bad can come from that.
And I tell you what, before we leave Mexico, I got to say I might have been wrong because the tacos look really good. It's battered shrimp, pico de gallo, pickled onions, and chipotle mayonnaise. So that is a different sounding taco, so I might have to try that one.
Yeah.
But you're right. It's a small taco for the price, so we'll see.
And it's, I mean, that booth is usually very, very busy. I think one because of location. It's right there. So, and it's right when you cross the bridge.
Well, yeah, I think Mexico and Canada and those like refreshment port area ones, people aren't full yet.
Yeah, that's the.
Well, they're walking in, giving the first thing you see.
So they're all going to start right there. They aren't full and they haven't spent all their money.
Yeah. That's when everybody's got the good old "I'm getting something at every booth" attitude.
That's exactly right. I think that every year, and I know I don't.
That's Rod's attitude right now.
That is completely my attitude.
He's a local. He can do it.
Yeah, it doesn't last. You get to Norway, and you're like, "This isn't going to make it."
I'm not. It's an extra. Okay, well, very cool. We're moving on, and we're going to be stopping in New Zealand. And to be honest with you, between the mussels, the venison, and the lamb meatballs, I'm going to actually not be hitting New Zealand this year.
Sam, you wanted a reminder to try the lamb meatball this year. It was delicious, and you wanted to try it.
I will try it. Yeah, I'll try that.
Put it on your list.
I'll try that, too. I want to try the seared venison loin.
That's probably also good, but I love the meatball.
Yeah, the venison loin, if it's the same one they had last year, it was really good.
I think I'm going to have to try that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a good offering.
Now, the next booth is a returning one, Patagonia, and that was pretty good last year. I don't remember if they had the grilled beef skewer.
I don't think I stopped there.
Then?
I think that sounds familiar, yeah. We had the beef empanada.
Who had the chicken leg last year?
I don't know.
It was when you walked in to the left, and it was one of those first stands. Did Argentina have a stand?
Patagonia is, yeah.
Argentina, right. Maybe that's what they had instead of the beef skewer last year. What to see. But anyway, so the beef skewer sounds good for me. They also have salmon and the beef empanada. I think they've had that every year.
Somewhere. I think that was Argentina and then Patagonia, yeah.
Right.
You get stuck around.
Yeah. So, cool. And then now we're moving on to Poland, which is the standard kielbasa and
kielbasa and pierogies. There you go.
And a sauerkraut pierogi with pork goulash, which sounds like opposite of what it would be.
That's just, no.
But, yeah.
We're going to try it, Jennifer.
No.
Come on.
I can barely walk the streets of Oktoberfest in Cincinnati because of sauerkraut. No, thank you.
Oh, really?
Oh, I hate it.
I love sauerkraut.
I hate all German food except for pretzels.
I'm not a sauerkraut person either. That would not make my list, no matter how liberal I was.
Thank you.
So also, I'm surprised you could even eat like in Casey's, Jennifer.
I can't. I get it. We get the nuggets to go. We don't eat. We don't sit in there. I can't. We've done beer garden. Well, actually, I did it on a solo trip when I was 11 months or 11 months. That would have been awful.
11 months pregnant.
I was pregnant with twins, and I felt like I was 11 months pregnant. But no, I was so sick, and then we went back one time, and I can't stand it. It's awful.
I like get like extra plate and put salt on my faces. I love it.
So it's a side dish for you then.
It is a side. It's like hey, they put a little mini buffet in here.
Speaking of mini buffets, we're moving on to Scotland with the haggis. Which actually this year doesn't say it's vegetarian haggis, so maybe it's the real deal.
No, it says haggis with neeps and tatties, and I do not know what either of those things mean.
I'm guessing tatties might be potatoes. I have no idea.
It does say rutabaga and potatoes. That's probably it, but I don't know.
Maybe that's what neeps is the rutabaga.
I don't know Scotland.
Scotland, the potato pancakes. The scallops were not... I think they had the scallops last year, too, and they were not bad. I think they were really good.
Scallops look good.
I remember something like that.
The scallop looks good. The haggis does not look appetizing whatsoever.
No. Yeah, see, that's what I want to know. Is anybody going to do the haggis? I'm dying.
My husband probably will, because he's like, I feel like I have to try haggis, but it's vegetarian, and that's just, that so not right. doesn't make any sense. So.
He's all in this year, huh?
Well, that's cool. And we only need one person to taste it, so we can figure it out from what it looks like afterwards.
Really quickly, we skipped the refreshment cool post because we should normally, but that is where you can get the kimchi dog this
year. Yeah, which, thanks for bringing that up, because that was one of my favorite things at South Korea last year.
You got more than one of those.
I did not see it this year.
Well, he got half, and then he went back.
Well, yeah, because you buy it, they give you half the hot dog. I'm like, can I have the other half, please? Hey, can I have the other half of the beer while I'm here, too? So they gave me the rest of the 12-ounce beer that I got 6 ounces out of. They gave me the other 12 ounces, so I had to get two of each, but that's good. And the other thing I see there, Jen, what the heck is a frozen brown
elephant? I just looked it up. Drink?
What is
it? Amarula liqueur, milk, and Coca-Cola.
What?
I know. No, thank you.
Yeah. And frozen. That, like, but don't forget, this is where you can get the Dole Whip on steroids. Because it's Dole Whip with Bacardi coconut rum.
Oh, right.
Ooh,
right.
Yep. So this is the refreshment cool post. This is the African outpost. That's the name of the counter service in there, so everybody knows. So I will be stopping there, which I usually don't do.
Rod, did you see in Scotland they have a Glenfiddich single malt scotch flight with a 12, 15 year, and 18 year?
Yes, I do. And that has got my eye. And my buddy is going to be down here from Philadelphia, and I guarantee you that's where he's going to make a beeline for. And I'm going to be right behind him.
How expensive do you think that is?
It's got to be expensive, I'm assuming.
Right. Actually, put that 18 year on there right away. You can believe it. Yeah, it went to stress.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
But, you know, if you're not doing it all the time and, you know, you're just part of the experience and the whole,
Oh, absolutely.
Times. I can find a way to justify almost anything.
Right.
If you go to Disney, it's like all your common sense flies out. Oh, I don't care. You forget. Just put your credit card out there and don't think another thing about the money. Right?
You're right. Sure.
You guys, we're getting really close.
Yeah, we're almost there. Now, here's the one that the kimchi dog probably should have been in is South Korea.
That's where it was last year.
That's where it was last year.
Right. So I'm wondering why they split that guy
out.
Because
they didn't want to sell two other kimchi.
They have two other kimchi dishes, though.
Yeah, it just seems odd the African post got it. Well, anyway, so we're in South Africa, and the short rib looks okay.
No, we're in South Korea.
South Korea. And the I had the icing grapefruit sparkling rice brew last year, which was actually like really refreshing because it was after, I don't know, 3 or 4 samples and a couple beers, and I had that. It was actually really good.
I was going to say, it made me laugh. They have this ginger soother milkshake, and I'm thinking that, I mean, it also has bananas, so it doesn't sound great to me, but I think it is one of those you've had too much to drink already situations with ginger. Soother.
One of my favorite things at Food and Wine is the roasted pork lettuce wrap with the kimchi slaw.
Mm.
It's really good.
Yeah, I haven't tried this before, but ginger, I love ginger. I wonder what this is like. It's just banana and ginger actually. Sounds kind of appealing.
Okay, Sustainable Chew. Another new kiosk or a place to get some food?
Yeah, so that's part of – and I was looking for this information before when we talked about it. It's the Next Eats Festival area, which is the Sustainable Chew and the Chew Lab sort of together, all inspired by that ABC food show, The Chew. So that's kind of cool, and it's an extension of the Chew Lab.
Cool. Mm. Cheesy mascarpone grits with the pork spare ribs. I'm not too sure about that one. But no.
I like cheesy grits. I don't know if I like mascarpone.
I'm sure it's
good. I like panna cotta.
The vanilla panna cotta with figs and pistachio brittle sound pretty.
That does sound good.
Yes, it does.
Frozen chutini. Interesting.
Chutini.
No.
I don't know if I want to chew my teeny.
Again, I know they have some interesting choices as far as naming.
I prefer.
We'll have to see. I bet whatever it is, it's just in a martini glass. It could be anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, cool. Moving on to the wine studio, which is another one of those new booths we were talking about next to the cheese place. And again, like Jen mentioned, it's the wine studio with a lot of wine options, but it does offer some food in there, some wine and cheese.
No flights. I'd expect there to be a flight or two in here, but there's not. But okay.
I just found the frozen chutney from the preview on Disney Food Blog.
Okay.
Combination of Crop Organic Meyer Lemon Vodka, V8 Carrot Mango Juice, and Citrus Sour Mix, and everyone there apparently loved it.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Let's give it a shot. I'm in.
Sour mix.
I'm going to give it a shot because that actually sounds unique enough to actually be good. That might surprise you.
And different, right?
Right, right.
Totally off the path from everything else we've seen so far.
Yep. I believe it.
Yep, no doubt. Well, it looks like it's going to be a fun time, guys.
I'm excited.
I should probably stop eating now and make room.
You know...
Or should we train? Should we start eating a lot in order to train?
Yeah, no, I don't need to train like that.
One of the interesting things I've seen on here, too, on this list, is that Test Track Coffee Cart made the list.
It doesn't count. I'm glad it's...
No.
Oh, I skipped over.
No, my point was is that I thought that the Chew Lab and Sustainable Chew were going to go more that way. But I could be completely wrong. I thought it was going to go more past the Odyssey, kind of in that Test Track area.
Yeah, on that side, like
kind of where they had the big playground and all that stuff.
Well, the only downside I'd say to that is you have the car going over the top of you every minute, and that gets really loud.
Yeah.
But
But I would expect wherever it is, and I don't know, to be a little out of the way so they could draw people out of crowds to get
draw people out of crowds, and they're going to be filming an episode of The Chew there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's after we're going. I think Charlotte was to be there. I think Charlotte's trying to go.
It's the 8th.
Be part of the audience.
7th or the 8th.
So, who's watched The Chew?
I have, and I'm not impressed.
It's a daytime
actually,
thing, right? When's it on?
The only time I watched it was on the cruise, because you can get every ABC Disney show on the cruise.
Got it.
And
got
I was
it,
in the
it.
Room changing, and it was on the TV, and you got a mix of like 4 or 5 chefs doing basically a talk show where they're making different meals as you go along. And they all take turns impressing each other, and I thought it got a little too happy. But
The reason I've not seen this is it's a daytime show. It's on at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Okay. That's why I'm not familiar with it, because I hear people talk about it. I'm like, when is this on? But apparently it's on right around The View or someplace like that. I've never seen it.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, yeah.
In today's world, I'm sure you can get on demand.
Right? Oh, yeah. I just have to record it.
If you really had to watch it.
I'm not going to.
It would be nice to see them film a show. Kind of. That's
It's all about
you can go be part of the audience. That's a completely different thing than
if they did it over to Hollywood Studios, it could be like what they built the park for. I'll never
Not anymore.
That's a whole different show.
So talking about all this stuff, you know, it's really – I'm just looking so forward to being there. Today's actually, as we record this, I'm 30 days out.
Nice.
So, yeah. So I'm getting close.
Wow, it's coming up fast, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I feel like it's time to start packing, like breaking out the suitcases.
I actually started to make those lists. It was that close, but you're right.
Yeah. So, and I'm looking forward to hooking up with you guys and at the meet. And so, for all our listeners out there, if any of you are going to be down the beginning of October, and you haven't heard, we're going to be having a Food and Wine Half Sample-thon meetup, the Disney Nerds Podcast, together with WDW, Madison J Podcast, it's Rod and his crew, and Scott Parker and the Florida Plunge people. So what we're going to do is we're going to meet up at 5 o'clock Florida time in the Odyssey building, which is the craft beer booth, and then we're going to work our way from there through halfway around the world, going through Mexico. And just stopping at different booths and trying different drinks. It looks like it's going to be quite a few of us. So we'll probably break up into some smaller groups. And I think the best way to move together would be probably some kind of social media thing, and we'll figure that out. But the goal is to be at the American Adventure for 8 o'clock for the last showing of Starship.
So we will start Friday, October the 2nd at 5 p.m. 2015, finishing up at 8 p.m. at the American Gardens Theater, right?
Correct.
Cool.
Right. However, we've been discussing this, and there is the possibility that we'll be making this a full sample-thon, meaning once we get to the American Theater and we watch the show, we can keep on going.
We definitely can, because Illuminations isn't until 10, so anybody else, I'm sure all of us, will still be hanging out and working our way around till.
I thought you were going to say standing.
All right. Jennifer totally would be pushing me in a wheelchair.
I love the idea of continuing right on around because there's still so much more to do. And 8 o'clock, it's still early. So we catch Starship, see some music, hang out, laugh. And then, we've regrouped and then boom, we go in for round two. I think it's great.
Yeah. And then you go catch Illuminations at 10. And I think that, the concerts are only like about 20 minutes. So, we'll be there for 8, we'll be out of there for 8:30. So we got another hour and a half to do what we want to do before Illuminate, get to Hawaii before Illumination starts.
Yes, that's the goal. Get to Hawaii.
And I know the meetups that we've had there, so many nice, fun people that come to be a part of it and families and, people make new friendships and people that, you talk to through social media and that you might know who are listeners to be able to meet. In face-to-face, it's great. It's a great chance to make new friends, hang out, and have a really nice time. I'm looking forward to it.
And we all have the same passion. So you're getting together and meeting up with a bunch of people who kind of like-minded. You're getting together with a bunch of other Disney fanatics. Because believe me, if they're listening to the podcast or they're following us on Facebook or in the Disney Nerds group, chances are, they're pretty much a Disney fanatic. So
I think that's a great point because I am, terrified of new people and small talk. But at any sort of Disney meet, whether it's our previous Nerds meets or any, the community just seems to know one another because we've known the same passions for so long.
Absolutely.
No, I was just saying, I sort of go with what Jennifer was saying, too. What makes it nice is, one of the coolest things about podcasting is it's given us an opportunity to reach out and know a lot of these people who have the same interests that we do. And every week on my show, when I close out, I always say one of the best parts of doing the show has been being able to connect with so many like-minded people and to enjoy the same kind of things. And so with podcasting, a lot of the people that get to come to our meets, they feel like they know us already because, they invite us in their home or their car or when they're out running and they hear us every week talking. And so, they feel like they know us. And then many times they connect with us, send us messages on Twitter or questions about this show or that show. So, you already have so many, you kind of have a relationship some familiarity with one another even before you've ever met in person. And that's really a unique and fun way to set off on an evening.
Absolutely.
Very cool.
Yep, no doubt. And we look forward to seeing everybody there.
Thank you guys so much. Remember, you can catch us via email. If you have any questions, send them to questions@thedisneynerds. You can get me, Sam, Ed, Jimmy, and Jen at the Disney Nerds. Thank you so much for listening. Rod, how do they get you?
You can find me over at my website, which is www.mousinger.com. My show is on Stitcher. It's on iTunes. And you can message me on Twitter. I'm at Rod Wheaton, or you can send me an email, rod@wdwmousinger.com. I love hearing from everybody, love making new friends. So, I'm looking forward to meeting a lot of new friends through the Disney Nerds friends that are coming and all meeting together. So looking forward to, one big happy family.
Awesome.
Okay, guys, that sounds good. Thank you for listening. This has been show 99
of
the Disney Nerds podcast. Wow. For Sam, Jen, Jimmy, and Rod, this is Ed. We'll see you next week.
See ya.
Kwaharini.
Kongaloosh.
And goodbye, everybody.